Okay, so I think we were on me and the boys. So in April of 2021, I had heard about these two bonded boys, Chester and Rudy, that were in Mexico. Chester had been shot and stabbed, and Rudy, I believe they think was hit by a car, and both paralyzed from in their hind legs, and they had ended up at the same vet in Mexico and were bonded. And long story short, I partner up with this amazing rehab center in LA called Two Hands Four Paws, and they take in special needs dogs. And I partner up with them a lot, for dogs at the shelters with broken legs and that need rehab. And so we decided, so Leslie, the owner, and I decided, let's bring them here and let's have them stay at the rehab facility. We'll get them, in great shape. We were told, by the Mexico vet that they could go to the bathroom by themselves and, all the stuff that's definitely not true. But so I went over to Mexico. We brought them down here and they were in the rehab facility for about a year and a half. So we'll get back to them. So cut to, I'm in Mexico and there's this dog that's brought in that's just like a bloody mess. He had just been beat up by his owner and it was just awful. And this is Bailey. And I'm like, oh my God, like I still remember that day. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. I'm like, but I have two special needs dogs that have been at my rehab facility for a year and a half. I had never taken in special needs dogs. Like that's not like my thing. I've had dogs with broken bones, but I'm like, I don't have anywhere for him to go. Like there's no room at the rehab facility. I don't have any fosters that can express bladders. And like, it just freaking killed me to have to leave Bailey in Mexico. He was at my vet there. I was getting sent videos. He's just so cute, but he's living in a vet's office. So I'm like, okay, even if I can't take him into my rescue, I'm gonna post him everywhere. Like I'm gonna find, I think I probably reached out to all of you guys. I reached out to every special needs rescue like possible. And nobody had room or, it's insanely
Hard.
hard. And so then I get this email from a Sammy Taylor, and basically she tells me, she has one dog named Squiggy, and Squiggy was born with a deformed paw, and he's special needs, and this is where like the phone calls, long phone calls, like and I was bullied as a kid, and I saw Bailey, and I feel for him, and this is what I want to do, and I Squiggy needs a friend, and we talked for hours, and I was like, oh my God, this is a dream come true, this dog in Mexico, and called my partner in Mexico, and we both, put everything together, and she actually went down there, she met April and April's mom, and everything seemed like a dream come true. And that's when her Instagram page was Unstoppable Paws. I don't remember what it was called when I first met her, because it wasn't called that, but and it was all Squiggy up until Bailey. And then every day it's these videos of Bailey and Squiggy living the best life. So we're like, all of my followers are following her now, like they're living this dream life. And cut to like a year later, I don't know, my timeline is off, but it's getting to the point where the boys have been at our rehab facility for over a year and a half, and we need to find them homes
You mean
because
Chester and
Chester and
Rudy,
Rudy,
right?
yeah. And so, we've been posting them everywhere. We were even gonna adopt them separately if we had to. We really didn't want to, but we were so desperate. Every time we had a meeting, it would fall through the cracks. And Chester and Rudy are so loved by everyone at that rehab facility. Like they are family there. Like Catherine and Katie, and like they're so in love with these dogs. And so Sammy, who I knew her as at the time, sees that I'm posting them like crazy. And she saw actually my post for Chester, because at this point we're like, we gotta post them separately. Rudy's reactive, so Chester, will have an easier time placing him first. And so she reaches out, and I tell her all about Chester on the phone, and she's like all in, and I'm like, oh my God, this is a dream come true.
Because it's a repeat adopter too.
Yeah.
Which is gold. Adopter with a dog who has been sitting in rescue for a long time, and it's like you start to get desperate, right? You start to believe all these wonderful things.
But also, I've been watching Bailey now for 8 months. Every day, she's posting videos of this dog, Bailey, in Mexico that had no chance of making out, living this dream life. I now realize she must have taken all those in like the first week and just recycled them.
Yeah.
But it's a dream come true. And because, you know, Chester, well, oh, so she's like all on board for Chester. And then I'm like, he's bonded to this dog, Rudy. And I'm thinking like, she's going to tell me to go fuck myself. Like there's no way that she's going to have four dogs. Cause if she took both of them, that would mean she'd have Squiggy, Bailey, Chester, and Rudy. And even I'm like, that's just not even possible. And long story short, she's like, let me just think about this. Let me talk to my mom and my vet that lives next door and my trainer and all this stuff. And she ends up basically saying to me like, okay, you know what? I'm working from home now. So is my mom. My vet is my next door neighbor. I have, like, she had all these resources, and you know what? Like, I can do this. Like, this is going to be my life. I'm going to take care of them full time, and she has this whole plan, and I do, like, the adoption process, because Chester and Rudy, I'm about to say Bailey, Chester and Rudy are, you know, my rescue, and so then, you know, everyone at the rehab facility is, I remember I was just like, no, you guys, you don't understand. This Sammy is like amazing. I talk to her all the time. Like Kevin, my partner, talks to him all the time. Like
you have a relationship.
Yeah.
Like I want people to understand, like she would build relationships and then you would see it played out on social media. It's not like you're some airhead, right? Like, I mean, you're literally, you have a friendship with someone. She has made you trust her.
Yeah. I'm not really a phone person. I would talk to her on the phone for hours because I didn't just feel sorry for her. Like, I kind of related to her in a lot of ways, and I loved that she was using the fact that she was bullied to help dogs in need. Like, I loved what she was doing so much.
She got you good.
Oh, she got me so good. And
she's so good at what she does.
So much so that, like, so almost everyone's on board. And Catherine and Katie are two amazing women who work at the rehab facility. Am I holding this close now? And, you know, they were, like, Chester and Rudy's just everything. Like, they would spend the holidays with them and
guardian.
Yeah. And they were like kind of skeptical, and I was like, it's fine. Like, I'll pay for you to drive down there and stay, you know, like go down there, see for yourself. Like, she's amazing. Like, I was totally convinced, but I also was like, no, like we'll do, you know, all the proper everything, home checks, et cetera. And so, Catherine and Katie drove the boys down there. And to be honest, I was like, they're going to bring them back. Nothing's going to be good enough for them. Like, it's not going to work because Catherine and Katie are so in love with these boys. Like, Leslie and I were like joking. We're like, not even joking. We're like, they're coming back. Like, nothing's going to be good enough. And Catherine and Katie came back and they were just like, oh my God, like, she's amazing. She is just a dream come true. Like, we, you know, they immediately started a wish list and sending her Christmas gifts and like, everyone at the rehab center pulled in and collected money to like send her stuff, and it was just such a dream come true. And so then she added them to Unstoppable Paws, and it was the four of them, and every day just tons and tons of videos of them so happy living their dream life. It was a dream come true. And I remember towards, before everything blew up, I remember she had added, I think it was, oh, now I'm blanking on the name, not Ficus.
Yes.
Ficus?
Yes.
And I was like, oh, and she had said to me when we had last spoke, like, you know, I really want to do what you do, and I want to start, like, a rescue myself, and I want to do it for special needs dogs. And And I saw her add him, and I was like, oh, I guess, you know, she got more help, and she got, you know, more people to help her. And she had asked me, oh, and I posted this new special needs dog that I actually met in Mexico. And she messaged me, and she's like, I'll take him. And I was like, okay, I need to schedule a call with her because I need to figure out, like, how much help she has, because this is a lot. And we kept messaging back and forth, but we hadn't actually, like, found a time to schedule the call. But my only thought was, like, okay, I just need to make sure, like, she has, like, all the help to take on yet another dog.
Because even then, your brain, that was probably your first inclination. You're like, wait a second. These dogs are lovely, but there's so much work. Who's just all of a sudden like, I'll take that one. I'll take that one.
Yeah. Like, and she had already told me how she has all of this help. And, you know, in my mind, it's funny because I still think about the picture I created with the narrative she gave me. Like, she, you know, her neighbor lives next door and, like, everything's, like, so perfect. And, I don't know. I guess I could, when I look back, I could say that that was the first time that I had a little bit of, like, it wasn't so much as, like, oh, I need, you know, to get to the bottom of this. It was more like, let me just make sure she has enough help, because this is a lot. And rescuers, you know, they start off well, but they can take on too much. So that was kind of my only, like, let me just make sure before I even consider, you know, giving another dog to her. And also it was like, you know, she adopted my dogs, like,
yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like that weird feeling of like, why do you want another one? Like, focus on. So, but that being said, aside from that, she was Sammy, a dream come true. That day that I was actually talking to the staff at Two Hands about her wanting Frankie, we were like singing her praises. And I remember I was like, Katie, when's the last time you talked to Sammy? She's like, oh, the other day. And I do remember there was one thing I was like, yeah, she said she got a new phone. And then, like, she texted her from a different number. And, like, but again, it's like, oh, okay.
Well, and what's going to make you start being digging into someone's life and probing? That's not really in your personality. But can I just point out, as I'm hearing you say this, my brain is thinking about the con she was simultaneously running parallel to yours. But think about how much time she spent with you.
Yeah.
Investing you almost like a player and multiple women.
Yeah.
Like, she courted you. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And she led you to believe she was your one and only and you were hers. But meanwhile, she's over here running the same con on other people.
That's what's so insane to me is while I'm worried, like, whoa, you have four dogs. She has like
54 dogs.
89 dogs sitting next to her in the crates that, you know, like, it's insane. It's what a fucking psycho. You said I could cuss. Yeah, so that was fucking insane. But, you know, I still thought she was amazing. Didn't sense anything until I think it was September 4th, right? It was
2023.
Becca remembers that call.
I know every date.
I'm at my friend. Are we getting into this part? I'm at my friend.
I have one question before we get into that part, because you mentioned that she expressed interest in starting a rescue and exploiting these animals in some way for financial gain. Do you know if she took any steps to make that happen? Did she create a nonprofit? Like, was she now operating?
No. So to my knowledge, she just had this idea that she, like, because she would tell me, like, I want to do what you do. Like, you inspire me. Like, this is what I know I was meant to do, is take care of them. And she would ask me questions like, when did you start and how did you do it? But nothing was ever started.
Do you remember the time or month that conversation took place by chance?
We had multiple conversations where she would ask me how I got started and how I knew I wanted to do this, like, stuff like that.
What's the time span? Like, time of year and what year? Like, what seasons?
Like, were the boys already with her when she would have these conversations with you?
More of them were after they were with her and she was like, you know, I really want to do more. But honestly, they started since she had Bailey. She was always kind of asking.
And when did Bailey go to her?
Bailey went to her in, I think it was 8 months before Chester and Rudy. So when would that be?
It would be March of 2022.
I'm impressed with your brain.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the opposite of mine, and that's bad. Same.
I'm so bad with
that. Is incredible.
I am the antithesis to all that is right there.
2022 at 12:10 p.m. This was said. What?
Like how? Well, I'm like, all of it. My middle name is
I'm like, what's today? What is today?
Where are we?
But it was also like I remember having that thought of when she, you know, had said like, "Oh, I take that dog, Frankie." I'm talking about. I remember thinking like. It, you know, oh, this is really sweet, but like she's got her hands full. Like mm-hmm. she's not going to be starting any number. Like she's got four dogs. Yeah. So like nothing, it was never like, I'm going to start this. Like I definitely didn't think
much of it.
Yeah. I just thought she was this really amazing woman that was taking care of these dogs that, you know, really wanted to
make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
But then you got a phone call.
So then I'm at my friend Michael's house. It was September 4th. And what was it? It was, I think you texted me like, I can't remember. I think you texted me like.
Can we talk?
Yeah, but something like it was urgent. So I still remember I went into a staircase to get like quiet. And you said, you know, I need to tell you about this woman. And I don't, you'll have to feel, I have the worst memory, but I mean, I remember the feelings of that call, but.
Oh, I'd love to fill you in on that call.
It was, because you didn't know I knew her as Sammy, or did you already know that I knew her as Sammy?
No. I don't know.
People knew her as.
Oh, I remember. You said, it's about your dogs, Chester and Rudy.
That's right.
And, you know, basically the call was you telling me like they're with a woman that is not who you think she is. And.
But wait, this was the same situation. Kimberly dropping these bombs on. Because you guys didn't know each other at that point.
We knew similar people. Because okay. Before I reached out to Shira, I had forgotten I had her phone number in my phone already. So I reached out to mutual friends. A few, like, hey, do you know Shira? Like, are you guys tight? I'm like, tell her I need to talk to her.
Oh, yeah. My friend Jackie from Canine Condition had also, I think, texted me.
Jackie,
like,
yeah.
Like, I think she texted me, like, can I give Kim from Be Like Josh your number? But then I'd already had a text from you because we had had a thread earlier about.
Yeah, somehow in some, rescue.
Yeah,
something.
But we didn't know each other at all.
No.
But then this crazy woman, Kim, calls me.
Well, here's where I went wrong. I came to that conversation assuming you knew who I was because that's why I reached out to mutual friends first for them to tell you, hey, if Kimberly's calling to talk to you about something, it's not bullshit. So listen. I was under the assumption Jackie had filled you in. So when I got you on the phone, I'm like, all right, so sit down. Listen, I'm going to lay this out for you. Here's how it goes. You're like, wait, who are you? I'm like, I'm Kim from Josh the Doodle. Actually, my name's Kimberly, and it drives me crazy that everyone's been calling me Kim. So set the record straight. I can't stand Kim. It's only Kimberly. But I was like, all right,
Kim.
So here's what's up. And here's Shira. Wait, what? Yeah.
That's exactly
okay,
Shira.
Okay, hold on. No. No, I'm at a party right now in like Beverly Hills.
No, I did not see that.
You did.
I was in West Hollywood.
Whatever. It was the same. It was very impressive. And I
was
like,
more exciting than anything we do.
I was like, oh, you know, I was like, she's doing
Can
something.
Can I just interject and say, if it's loud, I'm at a party. That's why.
I'm just saying.
Because I like how you do my accent.
My best friend does that one to me too. So, but we were talking and the disbelief from her, completely understandable, matched my triggered, here's what I know, why aren't you believing me? And then also, I'm so used to when speaking, whoever I'm talking to already is like, they've vetted me. But I'm talking to someone who doesn't know me. I got so frustrated.
You were mad.
Like, I was pissed. Yeah. I was like, even though we didn't know each other, I felt like I knew you. And so then I was unfiltered. And I'm like, I don't think you fucking understand, okay? And I went full intense Kimberly. And then you're like, let's talk tomorrow. And tomorrow came, and it wasn't until the end of the day that I think you reached out to me again, and you're like, okay, but I have someone else on the call. I think it was Katie. And I was like, I didn't know who Katie was. You probably told me, but I was living in a state of triggered. And so I was like, oh, Katie's probably her Jenny. And Katie is going to be the one that helps Shira to understand. But we got off that call and it was still met with disbelief. And I'm like freaking out because I needed you. Because until Coco rolled up, you were the next biggest platform. And I knew you were connected to other big platforms. So I was like, my brain's already like, okay, we need Lee and Zach. And the whole rundown. And I was like, and I thought I was going to be met with what I was met with in 2019. And I was like, I need Shira. I remember telling you that. I'm like, we need Shira to like be all in on this. And you were so resistant and understandably so. Mm-hmm. Understandably so.
Well, it was like, it's even when I would start to be like, oh my God, could this be true? Then I would tell Katie and Katie would be like, no, it's Sammy. Do not believe, you know? And then understandably. And then I would tell Kevin and he's like, stop it. That's, you know, and then like,
I knew it was Kevin all along. No, I'm kidding.
But it was like, no one would believe it. And then I became like, wait, but what if this is real? And it was just like, and then somehow I was trying to remember last night, somehow
Deb,
I think said, oh, well, Ellen had a dog with her and basically like that Ellen basically trusted you guys. And I was like, okay, this is,
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why did you call her? What happened that you were like,
because
we're
in
back
the
on?
So in the group chat, in this group chat of all these people
that was
were
still going from 2019.
Yeah, that was fact
it
finding.
It started back well, up again because
of me.
Of Becca.
So
we'll get into
that. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So they
we're
go
overlap in time.
That's yes, what I'm saying. All yeah. these cons were going parallel. So it's hard to tell the story because it's not one ends and one begins.
It, they're all concurrent.
They're
online.
All
yeah.
happening simultaneously.
Okay.
So when it came up in the group chat, it was like Rudy and Chester, and they're like, those dogs belong to Shira.
And I saw the video that Jenny had taken, which we'll talk about. And in the video, you see Chester and Rudy. I said, that's Rudy and Chester. I said, they belong to Shira. I said, who knows Shira? Because she's not going to listen to me.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So who knows Shira? And Kimberly was like, I do. And I was like, well, call the bitch up because she needs to know.
That's
like,
how we were yeah. talking. I mean, at this time, our strong personalities met, shook hands, and it was like game over.
Yeah.
You know, we, you're like, call that bitch. I'm like, yeah. okay. And I'm back and like, she didn't believe me. I mean, we
all
just
went
G.I. Joe mode. But so that's why I think it was like the peak of the intensity, right? But for me, it was big when, because people were saying, oh, who do these dogs belong to, right? And when it came out, Rudy and Chester, and I saw the proof, I remember thinking, this is going to be big. And here's another thing. I don't even know if I've told you this. My brain, as a highly visible rescuer, my brain said, Shira, for Shira's sake, needs to get ahead of this and understand that she's got to get those dogs back and start yelling on social media about these dogs before people bring mm-hmm. it to her attention, because mm-hmm. it's gonna, because then they're gonna spin the narrative.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, Shira adopted to this person. Mm-hmm. She's not doing her due diligence, but you did your due diligence over and over again.
Yeah.
She's just that good.
Right.
So I was like, I need Shira to know. And I saw the proof when I saw those videos, and I'm like, holy shit, those are the dogs that belong to this, as they say, celebrity rescuer, right? A highly visible page. I'm like, holy shit, April's ballsy. Like, you know what I mean? It's one thing to pull from an obscure little team down on the border, because that's right. what she preyed on a lot, right. right? But to be running this con with you, and you have such a reputation.
I think she wanted all the followers, and she
absolutely.
It was a quick way to get like more.
Absolutely.
And I remember saying to you, like, because I mean, nothing like this has ever happened before. Like, how do you know what to do? You don't. And I remember one conversation with you being like, what if we find a therapist to talk to her? And Kim was literally like, I'm sorry, but that's stupid. Like,
I just was like,
it was like such a shutdown. Like, I was like, oh, all right. Like, I just, you know, I never dealt with this. And then I kept thinking like, well, if we go in strong, she's going to kill these dogs. And I remember like, while you were mad at me, I was driving myself insane, trying to figure out what to do, how to do this. I kept thinking she's going to kill the dog. She's going to kill the dog. She's going to run. And I need to do this, this, and this. And like, didn't know who to trust. And like, my mind went fucking insane. And
you came up with a good plan though.
Some. Are you going to make fun of me?
No.
What was my plan?
I adore you so much. It was just so frustrating, but it was also like a little bit of comic relief. You were like, listen, we got on the phone. And I was so terse. And you were so sweet. I could hear you being so measured for the both of us. And I was like, and you're like, so listen, with all due respect. And I thought, oh, here it comes.
Yeah.
You're like, with all due respect, you do your plan. And we're going to leave and Chester out of this.
I was honestly, I was so scared that she plan was going to make her do something crazy and kill them. And I
100%.
Didn't want, I was like, I need to do, you know, of course I care about all the dogs, but like, I just didn't think it was going to work.
I get it.
I'm wrong, you know, but I didn't think it was going to work.
I get it.
I wanted to get in there. I wanted to get them out. I wanted to like,
work the long game.
I started texting her and pretending I knew nothing. Yeah. And she was texting me and I was like, yeah, let's talk about that dog that you want to take. And I just, in my mind, I was like, I'm going to con woman because she loves me and you know and I'm gonna you know get these animals out with kindness and being kind to her. And at this point, like, I still, you know, I'm thinking of her as, okay, she's mentally ill. And also remember, like, I had no idea how bad it was. Like,
none
I'm thinking like,
none,
yeah, this
did.
Is, you know, but for me it was, so I'm in New York and I'm in New York with my family dealing with friend that was dying and got a million other things. And I see the video of Chester the night that Bryce, the 15-year-old, got arrested. And I see like Chester, like, I don't, it just looked like he's like dying. And I was like, it, like, I can't even explain it. I remember I was sitting on my parents' downstairs couch, orange couch from 50 years ago. And my parents had already had gone to bed. It was like midnight. And I was like, I gotta get out there.
Even before that, Coco, and I gotta get her on the FaceTime. Coco did her reel. And that's when you were like, okay. And you like either called me or texted me. You're like, I think it was a call. And you're like, okay.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I get it now.
I was already, when I saw those videos, there was something about the video I saw that got me on the plane, but when I saw those videos, that was like, okay, I'm in. And I said to you, I was like, you're the boss. I said something like that.
Yeah,
like,
it was cute.
You're the boss. I'm just following
tell me what
you
to
now.
Do.
Yeah, just tell me what to do.
And I was like, oh, praise be. We got Shira on board.
Yeah,
okay.
I think you had called me afterwards. You were like, Shira gets it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And I remember I was at an airport and I was like, thank God.
It was no shade.
Yeah.
It was like, we didn't have the energy
but hearing you tell the story of, you know, how good Sammy was at convincing you, I can see why you didn't.
Yeah.
Makes complete sense.
It makes
I would have felt the same exact. I would have been like,
you're
you
like,
guys
I know
are
this
fucking
person.
Crazy.
Yeah. I have known her
this
for almost 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why when you called me, I could tell, like, you were just like in like la la land, like this was so surreal to you.
Yeah.
And I was like, listen, we've already lived through this. This is real. She's a sociopath.
I think I told you, I'm like, you gotta help Shira.
You
understand.
Called me and you go, dude, you ready for this? Because I had seen the WhatsApp of us going off, but I wasn't checking it. And you're like, you ready for this? And then you said to me, do you know Shira? And I said, well, kinda. Yeah. And she goes, well, you need to reach out to her. And I did, and I DM'd you, but we didn't connect for a couple of days. And by then, you were already in the know.
Yeah, yeah. And I was at Deb's house, and then we called you. And you know what it was? It's a time where, like, now I don't know who to trust. And Ellen and I we knew of each other, but we weren't friends.
Yeah.
But she was friends with my best friends, and it made it like, oh shit, this is, if Ellen's saying this, like, this is real. And like, it slowly became more and more real. And
But then I also know you, and I've, we didn't, I didn't know you, but I've followed you on social media. And I was like, Shira, if anyone can do this, it's you. You gotta go.
Yeah, that actually is really what hit me. I was like, oh my God, I gotta go save these dogs. Like, it was like,
that's your dream.
But I had been following her on Skid Row and like, just, you know, she goes places and she gives it a voice and she puts lights on it, you know?
Yeah, she does the big call to action, yeah. Which is why I needed you.
Yeah. Right?
I think it was just between you saying that and I love you so much, like, it gave me this confidence, but also it like kind of like, awakened me of like, wait, I gotta do something. I gotta do this. And then it was just a mixture of, you know, that. And then I was on board. I was like, okay, lead me, you know. And then just seeing that video that night of Chester, I was like, I gotta fucking get out there. And I booked the first plane I could find from Newark. I sat in a cab for like 3 hours and just flew out there with the intention of like, I'm going to get these fucking dogs out. Like, that's all I could see. I called my friend Siri, who I hadn't talked to in forever. She's a publicist. And I'm like, get everyone that could possibly help, get the media, get everyone. She was so awesome. She like had them all meet me like in front. Like, I flew in, dropped myself off at the hotel and met a bunch of reporters in front of April's house, still thinking I'm going to talk to her and I'm going to, you know, and then basically, I mean, I'll wrap up my, you know, part, but basically April pulls up in her car and I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk. And I have a little thing recorded. I don't know if did I ever send it to you guys? Yeah. And I'm talking to her and I'm like, dude, this is so fucking shocking. Cause she's like, I'm like, look, I was like, I know that you're taking whatever I said, like, don't, like, you know, let's make this right. You know, just let me take the dogs and, you know, as a show of good faith. But all she cared about was, you need to take down that Instagram. How could you do that? Like, you're different from them. How could you do that to me? And I was like, it's already taken down. Don't even worry. Like, just telling her everything she could want to hear. And
you're different than them.
By the end of the conversation, it was my last attempt. I was like, can I please at least right now, just at least for now, give me Chester. Just Chester, just for now. Like, because I was getting nowhere. She just wouldn't. And, oh my God. And I remember also, I don't know if, I think I told you guys this. She saw, like, media in front of her house. And she, like, speed dials the cops. And she's like, yeah, I have stalkers in front of my house. Because they kept coming to protect her. Only this time, they came to bust her.
and cut.
But like, oh my God, that day, that, yeah, I mean.
But Shira, I have to tell you, since I've gotten to know you, you are going through such a personal, like, huge trial and tribulation, stuff that would absolutely cripple anybody. Put them in a dark room where they don't want to get out of bed for days. And you literally dropped everything else in your life that was arguably as important, if not more so. And you said, I'm going there for the dogs. And so it was so ironically hilarious and poetic in the biggest, most beautiful way. When the bus actually went down and the only rescuer on scene was Shira and her
and
cape.
And we were laughing about it.
And laughing about it. She goes, we're like, said of it was course. With the gold rim aviators and her cute little tagline. And so Shira, truthfully, like I feel like we are sisters because we went through the full spectrum of emotion, you know, where like I'm mad at her and I'm frustrated and this, and then we're calm and then we're not, and then we're a team. And
you really fell in love with me with that. Said I wasn't leaving without my dogs, and I meant it.
That's right. Yes, that was the line. And I adore you. Ask anyone. I'm always like, oh my God, I adore Shira.
Yeah. But yeah, no, we've.
You're a soldier. I don't think people realize, like, what's the saying? Like, she may be little or
small,
whatever.
But mighty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You are such a fierce advocate. And I've said that to you before. Like, you have such a strong voice, but you lead with your softer side, you know, and you are petite. And so I think people underestimate you, but you are a force, and you are one of the most brave and outspoken voices,
with all the back, you know, the backstory going on with the lawyers and everything, you were so confident and brave. And I appreciate that because
thank you.
It shook me. I needed that. I needed that from the other women to like keep going because it was so intimidating.
Yeah, it took me a minute to really believe it because again, like nothing like this ever happens.
Well, it's
like,
bonkers.
It's too crazy to believe. Mm-hmm. And it, yeah, it's just, but yeah, once it all really clicked, I saw red and I was gonna fucking rip her eyes out.
Mm-hmm. And you did.
That was a good day.
That was a good
day. That was,
and none of us knew it was coming. And it was like, oh my God, turn this on. Wait, everybody,
we're
look.
We're not ready for the day. Yeah. First, we have Beth.
Yeah. Oh my God, and I'm sending you guys video clips like, and look at this.
Yes.
God. Oh. Insane. Can I add one more thing? I just want to say shout out. You know, at the end of that day, it was obviously horrific. It smelled like death. That's the other thing. Like the smell of death. And I don't even know what that smell was, but I don't know how that went on for as long as it did without people doing something, without the cops doing something, without the, you know, I know one neighbor was actively trying to do something, but there were kids next door. Are you kidding me? People knew that was going on and did nothing.
Well, including the Chandler
police. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because when they came to do a well check in June, remember, June, Phoenix, very hot.
For the mother.
Right, for the mother. It was adult welfare check. And they came as far as the driveway. Of course, April met them outside. So they didn't even enter the home for an adult welfare check. Mm-hmm. But I think we can all agree, if you've ever lived in southern states in June, it's very hot. The smell of urine and feces and decay intensified. There's no way that a police officer was that property and did not smell something that's concerning, and during an adult welfare check.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In which they questioned her in front of April.
Yeah.
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 So that really was effective.
It still does not make any sense to me how everyone, including the police, including animal control, including everyone anywhere near there, let that happen, let that go on, and how that cop doing a welfare check didn't go inside, didn't talk to the mom on her own. The door is fucking barricaded. Like,
well, the mom is likely an accomplice.
Yes, but definitely. Still. But what I was going to say was, at the end of this horrific, horrific day, and I'm like just disgusting at this point, like sweating, I haven't slept. And Katie from Two Hands for a Paws, you know, one of Chester and Rudy's mamas with Catherine. I see Katie and I'm like, oh my God. Like, it was like she drove hours just to like be there. So yeah, that's my shout out. Like, it meant, oh my God, like that's how much they were loved. Like, they have so many of us that just really loved these boys. And how dare she do this? Now Becca.
Oh, Becca.
Oh man,
the Becca chapter.
Everyone put their seatbelts on.
Still to come on a podcast: Becca and Coco share their stories,
and later, the takedown.